It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 565. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, facebook.com/miketechshow. You can check out the wiki at mtswiki.com, and there you'll find links to all of the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. I have a jam-packed show, and I apologize up front. I am not feeling well tonight. My nose is running. I'm sneezing. I'm coughing. And because there has been no show for the last 2 weeks, we have the motto, the show must go on, and I wanted to get here to make sure and put out a good show tonight. Just bear with me. There'll probably be a lot of editing on this show. I have a lot of little stories from in the trenches for over the past couple weeks and a couple that happened today. Then I have a couple emails. I don't have a lot, but I have a few, and some of them are pretty easy, quick emails. So we'll get to the emails. And then I have some special music at the end of the show. Quick administrative note, next Thursday, no show on the 10th. I'm going to do everything humanly possible to do the next show on Tuesday the 8th at 8 p.m. live, and I will record the show because I'm going to be at a concert on the 10th, not available on the night of the 10th. The 12th, for those of you that are Frank Sinatra fans, I am going to celebrate what I'm calling Franksgiving. That is December 12th, which would have been Frank's 100th birthday. Join me live Saturday night, December 12th at 6 p.m. Eastern time, as I will be recording and playing Sinatra, his top 100 songs. I'm going to play them. I should be on at least for 5 hours. Join me if you can on Saturday, December 12th. I'm looking forward to that. And I know I have a lot of Sinatra fans. Now let's get to the tech. First, can't have a show without talking about Windows 10 somehow, somewhere. This week, Microsoft, and shame on them for doing this from a marketing standpoint, they have pushed a Windows 10 upgrade flash screen on everybody's system that hasn't upgraded, forcing them, especially novice users, into clicking a button and installing Windows 10 where they shouldn't have. Or at least they should have raised their hand and asked. I have a big client that's a manufacturer and a user. As a matter of fact, the HR person did that today. And guess what? The main software didn't work for the company. That means she wouldn't be able to do payroll. Wouldn't be able to do a whole lot of things. Panicked, but we were able, and she successfully was able to back it out and go back to Windows 7 Pro. Everything's working great. But it's a lesson here that you got to share. In a corporate environment, in an office environment, you cannot just upgrade to Windows 10 without talking to your IT department or management and making sure that they have vetted it and they've tested it. This client, we are not ready. I have already discovered known issue with their main ERP software that has to be resolved before we dare consider upgrading. That happened today, and we were able to back it out. Luckily, I now know of 3 backouts that were completely successful. Someone that went through the Windows 10 upgrade, regretted it because so many things didn't work, and then was able to go back and recover back to the Windows 7 state, and everything's fine. Notice they were all Windows 7 to Windows 10 upgrades. I'm seeing less of an issue if you already have Windows 8 or 8.1, because the foundation of all the drivers and all the software is the same for Windows 8 and Windows 10. So it's a lot easier to go through an upgrade path. And if you're a home user, well, it's a piece of cake. Of course, the home users, there's been no issues. I've had, 30, 40 upgrades with no issue for at home. That's not the problem. The problem is in an office environment, there's custom software, there's vertical software, there's older high-end multifunction machines that we might not be able to have a printer driver to work. There's so many different issues you have to test. Now, let's talk about the next Windows 10 issue on November 13th, Friday. And I'm going to remember Friday the 13th for a long time. I was doing a Windows 10 upgrade for a client where we were testing, and one of the partners volunteered to be the guinea pig, and I put Windows 10 on, and everything looked good. As a matter of fact, I was very happy at the upgrade when I was on site, and it took 2 hours for everything to work properly and test everything. Everything looked pretty good. There was one application I did not test. Guess what? QuickBooks 2013. That doesn't sound that old, right? We're only in 2015 right now. Well, 2013 does not work. Anything below 2014 does not work with Windows 10. He had to upgrade QuickBooks. Now, you can't just upgrade the one system, because once you upgrade and the database changes, once you read it and convert it to the new version, now, if you're in a shared environment, anybody using QuickBooks has to upgrade also so they can share that data. So that forced an unplanned upgrade that we had to do. So that's not horrible. But I wanted to throw that out there as just one little example of a major piece of software that you have to have the latest version. Do you know right now I have a half a dozen clients that rely on QuickBooks as a mission-critical application, and none of them have the latest version. Right now, I am already prepared now for those 6 clients. We got to upgrade QuickBooks if we're going to upgrade Windows 10. And so that's the top of my checklist. That's why I don't want to rush into doing everybody, because it would be just a support nightmare. And all of my clients who wait are going to benefit from all the clients that I do the testing with and upgrading. So they're going to have a more seamless upgrade, because I will have learned so much. Like QuickBooks, that's one app. My son and I have a huge checklist of different things that we're monitoring and keeping track of for our upgrade and when we approach the upgrade. And there's still lots of software that we have to test. There's different legal software. Give you an example, Needles, PC Law. Do they work with Windows 10? I don't know. I have software like Advisors Assistant, CNG, in the financial industry for their document management. And I got to test to make sure, does that work under Windows 10? Trying to think, there's still like another dozen applications out there. Does Dentrix, which is the dental software, does that work under Windows 10? Not sure. Lots of custom apps, lots of vertical apps based on the industry that have to be tested. So speaking of testing, in order to have anything successful when you upgrade, you have to back up. So here's a horrible lesson that has happened with a client today. I have a client that I helped with a network issue a year ago, and haven't heard from them since. It was a referral. I remoted in. Matter of fact, I had to use Instant House Call on three different systems at the same time. I had a desktop that the application worked communicating with the server, and then a desktop that didn't work, and then the server itself. So three systems all connected at the same time, and I figured out what the networking issue was, and I spoke about this a while ago, and it was a custom host file that had to be done with the right IP address. Let's fast forward to yesterday. They had a couple other issues, and I was on site, and we took care of them, but the new issue was a desktop literally fried. I mean, this desktop, you could smell the components that burned, okay, on this desktop. It overheated and just took out the system. Someone took out the drive and tried to read it, and they couldn't. This is a mission-critical desktop. The drive they gave to me to try to see if I could recover data, and today I plugged it in, and all you get is clicking. Click, 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 click. I could not read it. This drive is toast. So they have two choices, and they have no backup. And this is their main QuickBooks data for the organization. No backup. As a matter of fact, I can't believe there's no backup, because even QuickBooks goes out of its way to want you to put a USB stick or an external device to copy the database over. So that means they're probably copying it. They think they're backing it up, but it's on the same drive. And you can't do that. You can't have a backup that's on the same drive. You can't, because look what happens when the drive fails. They have no backup. The first thing I'm recommending, and I have talked about these guys, I've used them twice. It's $300recovery.com, and I hope they're still around. I haven't had to use them. I've recommended them to this client to try to get their data recovered, and hopefully they can. Something that I'm not capable of doing, and I don't want to, I think if they replace the circuit board on the drive with another good circuit board, they might get lucky to be able to recover the data. And yes, we tried the freezer trick, and that did not work. That's the lesson: backup, backup, backup. You have to. And if you don't, well, this is what happens. You know, the drive will fail. It's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if it'll fail. Drives fail, and you have to back them up. So, of course, now a couple systems that they've looked at that do not have backups, I am now arming them with Shadow Protect on the systems and the server and external drives, and that's the least we can do, is get that set up. And so now they're very acceptable to backup solutions. Have a client with a Dell Optiplex that, this was strange, their video kept blacking out on the screen. Anytime they would go do something, like the screen would go black. We tried different video cables. We've tried different drivers. Then we even had Dell come out and replace the motherboard, because this is the onboard video card. They replaced the motherboard. Same problem. It's got to be maybe the Windows install. I got one more thing to try. Let's put a different graphics card. Even though I know they replaced the motherboard, it's amazing that they're still that we still had the same problem, because I would have thought that absolutely would have fixed it, because there's a problem with the video card, the onboard card. Put a separate video card in, inexpensive, you know, nice inexpensive GeForce. Guess what? No issues, solved the problem. So he decided to live with that second video card, which is a better video card than the onboard one anyway. Just wanted to share that different troubleshooting techniques. You know, we tried the driver, we tried different cables, we tried a different monitor, same issue. Even tried a different motherboard, but a different separate graphics card worked. A few things I've been working on: set up a Slingbox for one of my clients who has a house, or at least is buying a condo in Florida, and loves the Flyers and cannot be without seeing the hockey team, the Philadelphia Flyers. He cannot get NHL Center Ice package with his cable provider where he's at in Florida. So we hooked up a Slingbox to in his apartment here in the area, and he just loves it. He got an Apple TV, hooked it up to his big screen, and has the Slingbox app on his iPad, and he sends that to the Apple TV, watches his hockey games, and happy. This is now the second client. My client, who has a condo in Aruba, does the same thing to get the local content and get it literally for free because you're paying for your cable. Well, maybe at your vacation house or when you're traveling, you can get all that content by putting a Slingbox in. I have one. As a matter of fact, it was given to me a few years ago for a Father's Day present. What a great gift. I use that anytime I travel. The key to Slingbox working is you got to have a good broadband connection at both ends. So you got to be hardwired Ethernet on the box. Got to have that. That, to me, is required. And you really need Ethernet at the other end. But if you don't, you better have good Wi-Fi because you're sending the video signal. Good bandwidth at both ends. That's a great solution to get your content. I remember hearing about the Slingbox years ago. The first time was Todd Cochran of Geek News Central. His wife is Japanese, and he lives in Hawaii. And I remember him talking about putting a Slingbox at her parents' house in Japan so she could get that custom Japanese content in Hawaii without paying anything extra because they had broadband at each end and putting a Slingbox in. And that's where years and years ago I originally heard of the Slingbox. And I thought, what a great solution for being able to deliver content like that, and it inexpensive. Comcast upgrade for a client that this was on the 14th of November, learned a valuable lesson here. The Comcast, he already had Comcast, but he upgraded the service, and they got a new Xfinity router and the Blast service, which is 150 meg down. Also got his 6 boxes upgraded throughout the house. So, of course, Michael and I, my son and I, were there. Michael went around, made sure all the TVs and everything's working. I made sure the router was reprogrammed and everything's working. I was very disappointed at the speed test on his main desktop. I'm doing a speed test and I'm getting like only 80, 90 meg down. I'm like, I should be getting 150 at least. I don't understand. Well, if you only have a 10-100 switch, well, you can't get more than 100 meg. And I never looked at the switch. All the time that I've been working with this client, this switch is like buried behind a mess of ugly wiring that we haven't been able to address redoing. Now it reared its head that he only has a 100 meg switch, and it just made sense. I have the Synology plugged in, and I was wondering why, boy, some of the transfer times weren't that great, and that should have been a clue. I plugged his system directly into the Xfinity router, got 170-some meg down. Everything was great. So we ordered an HP ProCurve, and we were talking about this in the pre-show tonight, from Amazon. The reseller on Amazon where he bought it from never shipped it. We ordered this thing on the 14th, never shipped it, and he had to call Amazon. He got a full refund, and we're ordering it from a different supplier. Hopefully that'll come in because I'm going to be there not this Saturday but the following Saturday. I'll install that, program it. I love the 24-port HP ProCurves, especially the 1810. I just ordered the 1910 right now. They're rock-solid switches. Since we're talking about ISPs, Verizon. My client Monday had a problem. I had them reboot everything because I was actually traveling Monday, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Where I was on Sunday and Monday. Well, I'm talking to my client. We rebooted everything, and it seemed to work. So rebooting the router appeared to have fixed the problem. Yesterday, they were down again. This time, rebooting everything did not work. So Verizon wanted to send a tech out. They sent the tech out. This router is the standard Action Tech router that Verizon provides, has mega custom programming. Let me give you an example. LAN IP address is not standard because I inherited that a couple years ago from someone else who for some reason, decided to roll out an IP scheme that was non-standard and had fixed static IP addresses on that network. So if Verizon does anything to replace that router, nothing's going to work on the network. So I'm on the phone with the tech because I'm at another client. I can't get there for a couple hours. I talked to the tech and I said, please do not replace the router if you don't have to. And he said he didn't have to because there's the port on what they call the ATM where the fiber comes in. This is for Fios. The Ethernet port there, he determined was the problem. So he replaced that. So why? When I said, don't replace the router, guess what he did? He reset the router to the factory defaults. Now, I got port forwarding in there. Yes, I have it documented, but it's a pain to have to go reprogram everything and to go set it up. He can get out to the internet when he connects his tablet to the router. But I said, why did you do that? He says, well, I didn't replace the router. I said, yeah, but you reset it to the factory defaults. He only knows his world, the Verizon internet connection world, and knows nothing else about networking. And did not make the correlation that resetting the router to the factory default would wipe out all those configs. I had to go in there anyway, so they were still down until I could visit because the desktop, some of them have IP addresses, and the server, there's a server there that's giving out IP addresses on a different subnet. So they were down for an additional couple hours that they didn't have to be. And I came out and in a few minutes quickly changed the LAN IP, made sure that everything for DHCP was working, and they're up and running. But it was just kind of irritating that I'm talking with the tech and he just is so focused on only knowing one thing and not expanding any of his knowledge to look at everything that interrelates to what you're doing. New MacBook Pro and iMac setup. One of my clients bought two new, the MacBook Pro and the iMac on Black Friday, and I was able to remote in and set up his printing. And matter of fact, we use Instant House Call, which works on the Mac, which was great. And I was able to remote in and I could easily set up the printer. We were worried about that because the printer is an older printer. And one of the things I love about the Mac is printing. It is so easy. And I just go into System Preferences, Printers, hit the plus sign. It has the Bonjour printer, which is the protocol used for Apple printing. And I was able to pick it and set it up. Beautiful. Worked with the latest El Capitan OS X. Then I was able to set up his email because I had all of his email config that he needed for his POP access. He's a graphic designer, a matter of fact, a brilliant graphic designer, I might add. And he lives in the Apple world and all of his Adobe suite of software. I made sure his tablet was working for his digitizing tablet. And I did this all remotely. It was beautiful. Matter of fact, I was remoted into both systems at the same time. But here's why I'm bringing it up. I had to research something and in the Mac, if in the newer versions of OS X, you have a slider, the slide bar when you're scrolling, that scroll bar to the right of a window is by default not there. It disappears. You have to be physically pointing to the edge, and then it's very hard sometimes to navigate. If you click the Apple System Preferences and then go to General, there is Show Scroll Bars, and there's an option Always. That's something that has been bothering me, but I never researched on how to solve it. That was a showstopper for him. So we had to solve that the other night, and I was glad to be able to quickly Google that, figure out what the setting was, and was able to make the change. And then something that I'm going to be talking about later in the month, I ordered a custom Dell Optiplex for one of my clients with a dual graphics card because they're going to have three 24-inch monitors. So we got a dual graphics card. in a small footprint, a 9020, so a nice Core i7, an SSD drive, 16 gigs of RAM. This thing's going to kick butt, and it's an attorney, and she wants the three monitors. So I have the MonoPrice triple monitor stand that she got and three Dell 24-inch monitors. I can't wait to hook that up for her. That's going to be a kick butt system for her to use. When you get back to Friday the 13th, had multiple emergencies at the same time and had to solve them. First, Gmail stopped working, or I should say Google Apps stopped working for one of my clients, and he called me, and one of the big things that was happening was he was absolutely hacked. Someone had, and these are services and bots, they got his email password, compromised his email, and started sending out bogus DocuSign links to his address book. I said, you got to change your email password right away. Then I had one of my techs remote in and clean the system. They were able to do a full cleaning of the system and made sure that it was infection free. Later that night, he was still having trouble with email, and we noticed Google put an 18-hour hold. So I figured, oh, that's why he's not receiving his email and not being able to send. There's an 18-hour hold on his account. And I noticed that message when I logged in to manage the mail domain for him for his Google Apps. So I said, this is a Friday. I said, look, sometime Saturday night, you'll be up and running. Well, no, it wasn't. So guess what we discovered? Not only, and I'm bringing this up because you really got to look for this. Every one of his emails was being filtered to a different area so he wouldn't get it. And this was part of the infection and part of his email being compromised. There was a filter with just the at symbol sending his email to a different directory. He was not getting his email. Once we removed the filter, everything was working. That was one crisis. Another crisis with a retainer client, QuickBooks stopped working. And this involved painful hours of getting the new upgrade done and then also upgrading the QuickBooks file that has to run on the server that sort of manages the location of where that data is. I had to do that and get that fixed. That, at the same time, I was doing the Windows 10 upgrade for the client, and all of this besides just regular support coming in of different questions and different issues. Still had some legacy people that had that bad patch from Microsoft impacting Outlook. What a mess. The whole day, I was working from 8 in the morning to 10 at night, still working on issues that whole day. So I'll remember Friday the 13th for a while from a support issue. Let's get to some email. Question from a listener about an Asus Windows 7 downgrade. Hello, Mike. I'm a frequent podcast listener, and I have a question about an Asus Windows 8.1 we purchased downgraded to Windows 7 Pro. Asus sent the Windows 8 recovery media, but they will not send us a Windows 7 recovery media. From your show, I believe you have ran into this. Yes. And if so, if you are willing to please send me how you handle this. Our intent is to be able to recover to Windows 7 for a hard drive failure and if malware or other or something else requires an OS restore. This is from Steve. Steve, it's actually a Microsoft link where when you put your product key in, it will take you to the ISO download so you can get that recovery media. And that's provided by Microsoft, and I will find that and I'll put it in the show notes. This is from Kate. I know you've deployed a lot of Dell laptops in the past year or so. I imagine you're already aware of this, but in case not, here you go. This is an article that Dell's latest laptops are infected with eDellroot. Remember, Toshiba had this problem? Luckily for me, These are only the XPS laptops, which I never resell. My clients, I use the Dell Latitude for the laptops, Dell Optiplexes for the desktops, and there are no rootkits or anything on there. Kate, thank you very much for sending that link, and I'm going to have it in the show notes because you should be aware of this if you're buying any of the consumer grade or any of the other Dell products. Watch out for this. This is Rob. We are moving from Exchange 2010 to Office 365. Is there a tool to use instead of using the cutover migration that Microsoft is recommending? We only have 250 users. Thanks, Rob. If you're going to Office 365, you kind of have no choice. If you're going to be migrating from a host, your own Exchange server to a Microsoft hosted Exchange, Office 365, then you're going to have to follow Microsoft's path. I use Sherweb, and what they would do in a migration like that, but it would take some time, they would put a connector between your mailboxes and their mailboxes on their server and start the migration all behind the scenes. So you would just create all the new accounts, have everybody accessing their new email, and then over a few days, their all old email would come in. There's nothing replacing the old-fashioned export everything to a PST, take the PST, import it after you connect them to the new account. You might have to just get a bunch of extra help and do that. That's a lot of work for 250 users. But I don't have any magic solution here, and you're going to want to follow what Microsoft's recommending. This is from Robert, and he has three Windows 10 links here. One is about the Windows 10 tracking stuff. I'm going to have that link. The next one, here is another petition to tell Microsoft to stop this tracking. And then if you have Windows 7 or 8.1 or 8 or 8.1, how to get rid of the Windows 10 upgrade notification. So three good Windows 10 links here that I'm going to have in the show notes. Robert, thank you very much for that. Final email, and this is going to take a little bit of time to discuss. This is from Paul. Mike, I've been a longtime listener of your show and have heard you talk about this subject a lot, and I'm hoping you can point me in the right direction. I have recently had four of my business clients come to me out of the blue with the need for a new phone system. This is not something I have had to address before. I was in your shoes like this, 2 years ago, running into this. And I hope, some sound advice here for you. I'm a little out of my element, and I have been doing extensive research and have only become more confused and unsure. I am familiar with the concepts of an on-premise system and how it can be connected to old-fashioned copper or a SIP trunk. I do not believe in on-premise phone systems anymore. You have to have a good, stable, reliable internet connection and go with a hosted-based solution because you're flexible for disaster recovery, business continuity, so many things, just any kind of a power outage, a weather incident. It's so easy with a hosted PBX to be able to make changes to where you want to answer your phone or any of the forwarding. It's just so much easier to manage. But you have to have the proper infrastructure in place, and you got to have a good broadband connection. I have been looking into free PBX. I won't touch that. There's nothing wrong with it, but I want something a little more support. At the advice of some other techs on forums, but I am also aware of fully hosted systems and their benefits, but there are drawbacks as well, mostly having to pay for as many lines as you have new phones. I am actually already a reseller for Intermedia Hosted Exchange, and they offer hosted PBX as well. Well, you should look into that. But I have heard that they aren't so great when it comes to PBX. Okay, so here's the million-dollar question. If you were given the task of designing a new phone system, which I have, and it's going to be implemented this Monday, for a business with 11 people, mine is 12, 2 to 5 lines, a single location with a strong internet network, a fast, stable internet connection, Ethernet over copper or fiber in some situations, and not all the money in the world, what would your ideal setup be? Would you go on-prem or fully hosted? I go fully hosted. Who would you use for vendors for the SIP trunks, the phones? And, you know, you want someone with an SLA, and he goes on. Thanks for your advice. Paul, here you go. I use Netcarrier, and they are a national company. Paul, I'm going to send you my contact information of someone I know who can help you within the Netcarrier world, who is an employee of Netcarrier. Netcarrier will use quality of service all the way through your internal network, out the router, and up to their hosted service. You will get a better quality phone call on that whole connection. They have managed solutions where they will drop in a managed firewall if you want. They will drop in the proper equipment. They will help you where you can buy the equipment yourself or they'll provide it. They provide great leasing to make it taste better on a monthly payment. Lots of options. That's one, but that's not my only solution. If cost is everything, it's really between two other vendors. 8x8 is a great hosted service. Also, inexpensive, less tech support, but very competitive, and I have two clients with RingCentral. So we have Netcarrier, 8x8, and RingCentral. Each of them offer cost benefits over the other based on what you want from a quality of service, the equipment. I give you one thing that you have to do. Don't even consider a handset that is not a gig. You have to have gig handsets. And I just had this conversation with a new client. They were going to roll out 100 meg handsets for the switch. That means you're connecting a computer to the phone and then the phone back to the network. If you have a gig network, why would you drop that down to 100 meg? Look, I just talked about a client that has 150 meg internet service. Well, you'd be capping and bottlenecking your internet service. Well, what would I do with my clients that have 300 meg Fios connections? You have to have a gig. I wish they would uninvent or get rid of the 10-100 handsets. It's only like $20 more. You have to have the gig. And that's if you're using the pass-through of the phone. If it's just hanging in a conference room and you're not going to add another computer or anything connected to it, or maybe it's in a kitchen or it's a standalone phone, yes, you can get the 10-100 unit. You don't have to have the gig. If you do the 10-100, you have to have a second drop, a second network drop in order to have your phone. Now, I did this in the old days where I would make sure there was two network drops, one for the PC, one for the phone. And I even went as far as to completely segmenting the phone traffic and the network traffic. This is where VLANs come in, and this is where you need help with a vendor. And this is why I recommend Netcarrier. If you're not willing to take on all of the phone setups and all of the complications that go with it, it's better to be partnered with a vendor that can help you with that. So that's why I like Netcarrier for some of my bigger clients, where it takes the burden off of me for some of this. And then my smaller ones, 8x8, RingCentral, not a problem. I have three solutions, and right now, Winston, and I want him to send me the links if he can. He's in the chat, and Digium, D-I-G-I-U-M. that's a new one on me. But if Winston's recommending it, you got to include it on your list. That's it for tonight's show, and I'm losing my voice. But I have some music for tonight. Sunday, my son Ryan and I went to Wilkes-Barre, a two-hour drive, to see the Struts live at a very small venue that was great. And we had a wonderful time. And if you follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, you'll see I met before the show with Luke, the lead singer of the Struts. And that was just pure coincidence that that happened. We also, since we stayed up there, Ryan won private tickets to a private acoustic session of the Struts for the Fuzz 92.1. That's an alternative radio station up in Scranton, which was just another half hour away, to see the Struts in a very intimate, small studio. And there was like only 30 people, and we were there, and we had a little meet and greet, and there's actually pictures that I haven't shared. This is the actual recording of the song Could Have Been Me. Pay close attention to the intro, and then I'll be back.
Hello, this is Luke Spiller from the Struts, and you're listening to Mike Smith, host of the Mike Tech Show on MikeTechShow.com.
This one's called Could Have Been Me. Would you like to hear that one?
Don't want to live as an untold story. Rather go out in a blaze of glory. I can't hear you. I don't fear you. I live now as a bad dialogue. Touch your voice with your broken heart. I can't hear you. I don't fear you now. Wrapped in your regret. What a waste of blood and sweat. Oh, I wanna taste love and pain. I wanna feel pride and shame. I don't wanna take my time. I don't wanna waste one line. I wanna live better days. Never look back and say it could have been. Could have been me. Oh. Don't want to live as an unsung melody. I'd rather listen to 92.1 telling me I can't hear you.
I don't hear you. Don't want to wake up on a Monday morning. The thought of wax is getting my skin caught in.
Gonna have to sing this next bit, right?
I wanna taste
beautiful. Just better.
It could have been me. It could have been me. Love and pain. I wanna feel pride and shame. I don't wanna take my time. I don't wanna waste one line. I wanna live better days. Never look back and say it could have been me. It could have been me. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the Struts, Could Have Been Me. Interesting, they only have an extended play CD for just four songs in the States. They're bigger over in Europe, and this group is going to be huge. As a matter of fact, they just found out they're going to be opening for the final four concerts of Motley Crue. And Motley Crue requested the Struts to open for them. So great guys, and had just a tremendous time. The show Sunday night and then the acoustic show on Monday morning. I don't know how they do it. They, you know, would sleep and everything, but it was great. I hope you enjoyed that. If you buy from Amazon.com or know anybody that buys from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small percentage comes back to support the show, and I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, everybody who used my link over Black Friday. And, you know, you still got plenty of time to buy an Amazon gift card. What a great stocking stuffer. And you know what? You can double dip in helping me. Buy the gift card, and I'll get a percentage of that. And then use the gift card to whoever you give it to. Tell them to use my link, and I get a percentage again for them using it. So very, very cool. What a great gift idea for stocking stuffers. Amazon.micnation.net. Want to thank Instant House Call for sponsoring the show. Go to instanthousecall.com. When you download the 15-day trial, don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Reminder, next week, the show will be Tuesday night because I'm at another concert on Thursday night. And don't forget the special Frank Sinatra show I'm going to be doing on Saturday night, December 12th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. I intend to be on at least 5 hours. That's it. I will see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.